I want to ask you to turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter number 51. Now, I want this psalm labeled and left in the room with the Psalm 61 that we did on Tuesday night, Miss Ruth. All right, or you all put them up somewhere. I want to keep them in order. And then I'll also teach through that particular psalm when I get there. All right? Psalm number 61. And when you find that, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 61, and I want to begin reading with verse number 1. David here says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Our Father, I want to thank You this morning for the good privilege to be in God's house. Thank You, Lord, for the help in the Sunday school hour. Now, Lord, I need somebody this morning, Lord, that's bigger than I am. I need God's help. I need God's grace. I need Your power. I need the Holy Ghost to illuminate, Lord, my mind and enlighten my heart to the Scriptures. I need You, Lord, to move in every heart today. I need You to bind the devil and reprove and rebuke of sin, righteousness, and judgment in the people of God. I need You, Lord, to touch me and bless me that I might be a blessing. If there's just one here today, Lord, that's come looking for God, I pray You'll meet their need. And if there's two or a dozen or 50, Lord, I pray You'll meet their need as well. And give us grace. May Jesus today be glorified in our midst. And help me now as only You can in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated, please. David said in verse number 2, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I preached last Tuesday night. Some of you were here and some weren't able to be here on Tuesday night. But I preached on this same psalm on the thought, something bigger than me. And I mentioned several things in that chapter that I found there to be bigger than me. David found them to be bigger than he was in his own life. Now, I want to preach on the same thought today with a little different title and preach on someone bigger than me. I'll preach on someone bigger than me. Now, if you notice there, he didn't say, "Lead me to a rock that is higher than I." But Brother David said, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Now, I want to explain again this morning what the word overwhelm means. That word literally means to be, it means to be shrouded in. It means to literally, it means a place of noise, a place of turmoil, a place of agitation in the life of good old Brother David. And David said that when I'm shrouded in, when I am overwhelmed, when I'm overcome from the billows of this life, then he said, "Lead me to that rock that is higher than I." You know, some calamity, this may have been some calamity of life so great that David did not have the power nor the ability within himself to find a place of escape. I want to say that I find people there in 1997. Folks, we are vulnerable to the devil and we're prone to have problems in our life. And as sure as you're living this morning, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to encounter something that you have no power nor ability to conquer in your life. And you're going to have to depend on somebody bigger than you are to help you out of the situation that you're in. In fact, I tell you, you might be having a problem right now that you just can't control, that's bigger than what you are. I want to say to you that just rest in Him, bless your heart. That's right, and put your confidence in Him. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, when there's a problem in my life or a need in my life that's greater than my power and greater than my ability, then I'm glad there is somebody that is greater than I am, and therefore lead me to that rock that is higher than I am. Amen. Amen. It might do you good to let God or to have God to hem you up in a situation that you have no control over, and unless God does something for you, you're going to sit there in your despondency. Amen. When my heart is overwhelmed, then lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When there's difficulties in my life, then lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When I'm surrounded, by trouble and by turmoil and by heartache and hardship and difficulty, when I'm surrounded by an immovable object that I have not the power to get out of my way, then, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When I'm found in a situation that overwhelms me, that I feel as if my life will be consumed and my soul set at naught, then, Lord, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Now, I found at least four situations in the Bible that I want to deal with this morning, four men that I believe found them in a position that their heart was overwhelmed and they had to find a rock that was higher than them. May I say to you that in Psalm number 40, old brother David found himself there surrounded by real terror. He said in that Psalm, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. If you please, David in Psalm number 40 found himself terrified. He found his soul in a situation where he had to have help from somebody that was bigger than him. In other words, there was a real fear in David's life. A fear had grasped hold of him. Horrors of life had surrounded him. He felt himself sinking down into the mire, down into the pit. He found himself in a horrible pit. Friend, it just wasn't a pit, but it was a horrible pit where his feet found no stability, where he found no standing, where he found no rock, where he found nothing firm under his feet. But I'm satisfied that David, when he found himself overcome by the terrors of his soul, he might very well have cried, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I want to say this. David no doubt found himself in Psalm 40 as a lost man. That's the position of a lost man. In a horrible pit where there's no standing. In the miry clay. Old brother Paul Powell used to sing that song, He lifted me out of the deep miry clay, and He settled my feet in a heavenly way. And here it is that David found himself. It wasn't just an ordinary pit, my friend, but it was a horrible pit. A terrors engulfed his soul. There's no doubt David found himself there guilty of sin. He found himself in that pit under the condemnation of the law. He found himself in that pit without grace in his life and without God in his life and without glory in his life. And he had no power nor ability within himself to save himself from the horrible pit and the terrors of that pit that had compassed his soul. And he said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. May I say to you that in that psalm, David found himself sinking in this life. How many of y'all could say amen to that right there? Brother, when Jesus found you, you was a sinking in the miry clay. Amen, ain't that right? You was going down for the last time. Your life was sinking. Overcome by sin. Overcome by Satan. Overcome by this world and the evils of life. Sinking into oblivion. Sinking out of sight. Had no hope and no hold on heaven. Seemed like there was nobody or nothing that could help you out of the mess that you had gotten your life in. But thanks be unto God, out of nowhere, there come an unseen hand, friend, that went far down into that deep, horrible pit full of tares that had gripped your soul by the power of Almighty God. Amen. Your heart being overwhelmed. God brought that rock that is higher than you in the grasp of your soul and saved you by the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? When my heart is overwhelmed, then lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When I'm sinking in the terrors of life. Boy, I wish I could get out of my heart what I'd like to get out of it this morning. How many old sinners ever been in that shape? Son, when you are going down for the last time. Amen. The God of this world had His ring in your nose and was dragging you down into the slime of sin. And you felt no way out. Terror gripped your soul. David said, I cried unto the Lord. And He heard me. I waited patiently on the Lord. And He inclined His ear unto my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Up out of the miry clay. And He set my feet on a rock. And established my goings. Put a song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. David found himself there sinking in the miry clay. But David also found himself searching for a way out. But that'd be good admonition for every sinner. To try to find a way out. Amen. Buddy, I'll tell you, I feel sorry for sinners today. I feel sorry for lost people today. Brother, they're unconcerned. They're living a reckless life. Some of them don't know what they are. Sure don't know where they're going. Miss Hall and I took Elizabeth yesterday and went to the country cupboard. She wanted to eat out. I told her, I said, bless God, I said, it's a sad day when somebody's got $100,000 in the bank and make poor grandpa go and buy them her dinner. Amen. But she had to go down to the country cupboard and try to get her a meal down to the cupboard. So we took her down there and a young lady, I take that back. It was something or another. I don't know what it was. Come walking out. Oh, Miss Hall, I saw the back of its head. And it looked like a ugly man and an ugly woman all put together. And I didn't know what it was till it turned around and I saw that it, from the front view, that it no doubt it had to be a woman, didn't have much going for her. And I'd say without a doubt that woman was probably a lesbian. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, friend, that that old sinner, she's a sinking down into the mire. But she's not a searching for God. Friend, every sinner ought to seek the Lord while He may be found. Amen. In a day while God may be found, you may be here today and may not know whether you're saved or lost. I'd say to you, keep on a searching for God. Amen. And somewhere down the line, God will find where you're at. Amen. Amen. Old David found himself a sinking. He found himself searching. And in verse number 3, he found himself songless. He said, He hath put a song in my heart. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Friend, I tell you, you may be in that shape this morning. Songless. No joy. That's what David's saying there. I was in that horrible pit. I had no happiness. I had no contentment. I had no satisfaction in life. I didn't want to live. Didn't care whether I lived or not. Didn't think anybody else cared whether I lived or not. I was in a place of terror. I was in a horrible pit. And when his heart was overwhelmed, David said, I cried to the rock that is higher than I am. You hear me well this morning. What I'm getting ready to tell you. Buddy, when a sinner man or a sinner woman finally comes to the end of their rope and realizes there's no way out of the mess that they're in. Amen. Oh yes, and their life is in a turmoil, in a mess. Amen. Then and only then can God help them out of the dilemma of life that they're living in. Amen. See, most folks can't get bad enough off to get saved. Amen. They think they got to climb Jacob's ladder and get to the good place of life in order to be saved. God, just run this by my mind. I better use this. But I'm satisfied in the providence of God. God put David down in that horrible pit. I know that in the providence of Joseph's life, that God let him go to the pit, God let him go to the prison, and God exalted him to Pharaoh's house as ruler over Egypt. All in the providence of God. Hallelujah. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, get to the thoughts that really I wanted to make this morning. There's another man in the Bible that found himself surrounded, my friend, and his heart overwhelmed. A man by the name of Peter was surrounded and overwhelmed by the testing that God Almighty had put in his life. And he found himself there in a place of turmoil and a place of testing in his life. And it said in the book of Luke, chapter number 25 and verse number 31, the Bible said, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Where David found himself in a place of terror, then Peter finds himself in a place of testing, in a place where he needed God more than he had ever needed Him in all of his life. He said, "Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." I want everybody to look right up here at me. I think we got the idea in 97 that the devil's dead. Amen. And some of y'all sitting in here this morning with your lips hanging on the ground. Now, I ain't used this in a long time. Your face looks like a Missouri mule sucking peanuts out of a Pepsi bottle. You look like a mule chewing on sawbriars. Amen. And it's because you're in a place in your life that you have no control over, that you can't do one thing about, and unless God divinely intervenes and interrupts your life, you'll find yourself hopeless and helpless without God, without power, without joy, without happiness. And I'm telling you, you need the rock that is higher than you are today. Amen. I know the dilemma some of you's in, and I tell you, it troubles me. Buddy, it troubles me to see you come in the church house and sit there like you've lost your best friend. Have you ever considered maybe God is testing you? The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. It may just be, my friend, that in your testing, that you're in the same shape old Peter was. That you found the devil in hot pursuit of your life. He said, "Satan hath desired to have you, Peter." In other words, Satan's going to pursue you, buddy. He's going to be like a hound dog on the trail of a rabbit. And he's not going to rest until he puts you in a hole. How many of y'all ever rabbit hunted? That rabbit, that's right, that old hound dog gets on a little old rabbit's trail. And if you know anything about rabbit hunting, that rabbit will circle. That dog will circle that rabbit. Ain't that right, Brother Robert? He'll bring that rabbit right back around to where he first started from. And if you stay right there, you can kill yourself a rabbit. But if that little rabbit finds a hole in the ground or finds a brush pile to get under, he's a going in or he's a going under. And if that dog's a good dog, hear me well, he won't turn loose. And he won't stop till he either digs that rabbit out of that hole, buddy, or he gets up under that brush pile and gets a hold of that rabbit or brings that rabbit out. One of the two. I'm telling you, the devil is the same way in the life of Peter. He hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Some of y'all this morning may be in the sieve of Satan. Amen. But I want to say by the good grace of God, amen, that when your heart is overwhelmed within you through the pursuit of Satan, that's right, then let him lead you to that rock that is higher than what you are. Hallelujah to God. Son, there's somebody bigger than you are in this thing. And I got news for you. There's somebody bigger than the devil, too. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you saved this morning? Really been regenerated by the power of God? Hallelujah. The devil might put you in a hole in the ground, but I tell you, there's a rock that's higher than you are. Amen. I'll never forget years ago, me and my brothers was a coon hunting up in what we call the Pigeon Roost Bottoms. And that little three-legged dog of ours, I won't call his name over there away, but that old three-legged dog of ours got on a track and he went to run and he treed. He was a barking treed for a minute and then he's muffled. And he'd bark treed and then he's muffled. And my brother said, boys, it's strange. He said, he sounds like he's up a tree, but it sounds like he's in a den in the ground. And we got to where he was at, and he was at this big old gum tree, just a barking away. It's that gum and a paw and the base of that gum. And my brother said, well, he's treed and den both. Said, whatever he tracked is went inside the base of that gum tree. And we drug him back, shined a flashlight in there, and there was an old red fox sitting up in there with eat up with a mange. I mean just eat up, buddy. I don't know how long he'd been running that thing. You know anything about a fox? They take some long trips, buddy, with a dog running. And I figured it was a fox all along. But that old fox ran and ran and ran. And ran and ran and ran. And finally he ran out of gas. He ran out of gas and he found a hole in a tree to get to. And about that time that old three-legged dog jerked out of my brother's hand. And into that hole he went one more time. When he come out, he brought a mangy fox out with him. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Satan hath desired to have you. Do you think maybe this morning that Satan may just have desired to have some of you that he may sift you as wheat? Hallelujah to God. And in his pursuit, he will not stop till he puts you into a hole somewhere. Amen. But when he gets you hemmed up and you're no way to turn, nowhere to look, remember, church, you can always look up. There's a rock that is higher than we are. Now I'm going to show you something. Now I've read this verse and quoted it 100 times, but I never thought on it in this light until I went to preparing this message. But in 1 Peter 5:8, it's that old man of God that makes this statement, but your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do you reckon that Peter, when he penned down 1 Peter 5:8, that his mind raced back to a young man and a young man of God, just been saved and called to preach, and the Jesus looked him right in the eye and said, hey, he said, Satan wants you, but I pray for you that your faith will fail not, Brother Peter. You reckon maybe that every time when a devil got real hot on his heels, Peter would recall back to that day, Luke 22. Amen. When Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter. Satan's pursuing you, but I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. There's a rock that is higher than you are, Peter. I'm going to tell you, some of y'all in here just need to get a hold of God. Some of y'all like Ahab and Obadiah, you out looking for grass. Bless God, you need to be praying for rain. You need to get a hold of God. That's right. In Psalm 40, David wasn't praying to somebody else. He was praying to God. He wasn't looking to man. He was looking to God. Amen. Some of you ladies probably looking to your husband. Some of you husbands is looking to the preacher. And all of you need to look to God. Some of y'all doubting. Some of you despondent. Some of you worried sick. Come to church and can't worship. For worrying, I tell you what Brother Rain said this morning, y'all hear him. He said, hey, some of y'all need your head anointed with oil.
You ever get under one good dose of oil anointing? We're going to preach along that line a little bit tonight. I'll guarantee you to race a whole lot of your ways. Some of y'all are too busy about other things to worry about getting a hold of God. Peter needed somebody, needed that rock, needed somebody bigger than him when he was pursued by the devil. But I want to say right on over in this chapter, when our Lord is taken prisoner to Pontius Pilate, and old Peter begins to follow him afar off. I want a lot of you to get this now, because there's some of you in here going to need this. When Peter began to follow the Lord afar off, and he began to warm himself by the coals of fire that was outside Pilate's judgment hall, there was a little old woman come a-walking by, probably carrying something into Pilate, and she saw Peter and heard Peter a-talking. She stopped. She said, "No doubt you're one of them, buddy." Peter said, "Not me. I'm not one of them." A little bit later again, and the third time, she said, "Surely, you're one of them, because your speech bewrayeth you. You sound just like one. Now look here. When Peter was pursued by Satan, he needed somebody bigger than him. When Peter was pressured from without, he needed somebody bigger than what he was. You know why Peter caved in that day? Outside pressure. Why? Surely you're a Christian. I've heard you talk about God and praying and going to church. God help you. Why? You claim to be a Christian? What's wrong with you, man? Well, you ought to be enjoying the Wildcats with us. You ought to be watching the Big Two with us, Brother Rick, and enjoying the Wildcats. Why, after all, man, we all know who you are. Your speech is already giving you away. Pressure. Pressure to compromise. Pressure to cave in. Pressure from without. People knowing that you're God. And I'm going to tell you, folks, it ain't easy to stand in 1997. No, it's not easy to stand. There's a lot of pressure from the world. They want you to cave in. They want you to give in, give up, and give out. You hear me well, too. Buddy, when you're in a crowd, it's one thing. But when you get standing out there all by yourself. Old Peter looked around and said, "Well, Jesus is gone." By the way, where's James and John? Where's Bartholomew and Didymus? Where is this crowd at? I'm out here all alone. And here's this whole crowd, this one little woman, keeps ragging me about being a Christian. She keeps pressuring me about who I am. She keeps pressuring me about holiness. She keeps pressuring me about righteousness. She keeps pressuring me about living right. I tell you, woman, I don't know him. Well, after all, Brother Chris, your wife got hair down over back a little bit and wears long dresses under God, man. What means? Surely you're one of them. Oh, no. Surely you're one of them. You know what that crowd wants you to do? They want you to cave in, buddy. Give up your convictions. Lay down your standards. Amen. Join the ranks of the world. Why, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, good sister Holy Roller, who do you think you are? I'm going to tell you who I am, bless God. I'm a born again, sanctified, God called, Spirit filled, Holy Ghost, man of God, that loved Jesus, and I'm going to live for Him. Pressure from without. Pursuit by Satan. Pressure from without. Surely you're one of them. Ain't nobody in here like that, are you? Hey, wouldn't none of them boys comes over and works with you, want to put a little pressure on you about that rock music, would they, Steve? A little dope or something? Grandma wouldn't want to put a little pressure on you about letting the kids watch television, would they? Son, we're in the hole! Why, a little TV ain't going to hurt that little grand boy. Why, let them watch some of that mess. Let them watch old Bart Simpson with his stinking yellow hair standing straight on head and making obscene gestures and pretending like he's urinating on everybody. There ain't nothing wrong with that mess. or you'll deprive them kids. You'll warp their mind. They won't have any fun at all. No enjoyment in life. I wouldn't be at all surprised if you ain't heard the same thing. Can you tell me that your mommy-in-law and dad-in-law lived right up on the hill from you? I wouldn't be at all surprised if you ain't heard it. Pressure. Wonder if that's what's wrong with some of you this morning. Wonder if that's why you ain't worshiping God. Wonder if that's why you're dead today. A little bit of pressure on you to compromise. Let down a little bit. Well, after all, if you'd just leave that church down there, you could just have the blessings of God upon your life. Well, I don't care if you're going to church, but don't go down there where Hall's at. He is a radical. I say amen! Well, he's just a radical. Crazy. Believes crazy stuff. Talking about God visiting His people again. Talking about God's people turning back to holiness and old-time religion. Yeah, he talks about righteousness. He talks about godliness. And by the way, he's so crazy and stupid and ignorant, he believes the only Bible they are in the world is the King James Bible. Yeah. I get out of that mess. Yeah. I've got a man writes me 2 and 3 letters a week trying to straighten me out on repentance. He said repentance is not turning from sin. It's not godly sorrow. I'm waiting for him to. He's told me everything it's not. I want him to tell me what it is. Sir, I hope you're listening. And here's what I think about you and your pressure. Son, none of these things move me. I know how I got in, bless your heart. You ain't going to get saved by hanging on to your stinking sin with one hand and God the other one. He said the word repentance comes from the word metanoia, which simply means a change of mind. But there's 3 Greek words in the New Testament for repentance, Brother George. One of them means a change of mind. The other means a change of heart. And when Brother John the Baptist said to repent and bring forth fruits meet repentance in John chapter number 3, that word repentance there means a change of course of living.
Amen.
You mean Paul says if a man repents, he'll get out of the theater houses? Oh, yes.
Amen.
He won't pull his clothes off and run down to the swimming pools and the beaches. Oh, yes. You mean he believes the women won't bob their hair like a Corinthian whore? Oh, yes.
Amen.
That's exactly what Hall believes, buddy. Had a fellow say he got saved. Heard a fellow say on the radio in North Carolina he got saved in February, and in October he was in a beer joint drinking. He said he didn't turn from none of his sins after he got saved. God took them away from him a little bit at a time. Said every now and then, said he still sinned a little. Said he might, God might be his Lord today. 2 weeks from now he might not be. I'm telling you, son, there's pressure. And you hear me well. There's going to be pressure on us to give in too. Money pressure. We won't support you if you keep preaching that way. Good! I didn't want their money no how if that's the way they feel about it. Hallelujah to God! I'm not a letting down, letting up, giving in, giving out. I'm a going with God, bless your heart. Amen. That's right, pressure. I'm going to tell you what. I can't get off of this. I don't know how long I'm going to preach this morning. Preach long enough, we won't come back tonight. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be pressure from Baptists to get right down into their little old mold. Just be everything they want you to be. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to enjoy it a little bit. You don't shave, get that little beard off your face, you ain't right with God. Slick face and a slick heart. I'm going to tell you what godliness is, boys. It's in a man having a beard. Man ain't got a beard, he ain't godly. method of worship, way of worship, if you don't sing like I sing, if your church don't conduct like I, if they don't run like we run, shout like we shout, talk like we talk, I'm so sick of moles and cliques. That's right. Amen. That's right. Honey, I'm going to tell you, look at the books and look at the churches in the New Testament. Romans. First Corinthians. Galatians. Ephesians. Philippians. Colossians. Thessalonians. They weren't none of them alike. I like it. I can give you one better now. I need some of you young people to help out Brother Hall right now. Jason, you stand right up here if you would, please. Josh, you come up here. Jake, where's Jake at? Can you come up here? Come up here, Bingham. You come up here. You're a good example. That's right. Line them boys up here. Line them boys up. Stand right here beside you. Stand right here beside. All right. Come on out here a little bit. Well, we got Mutt and Jeff. And we got Laurel and Hardy. There's four young men. All four of them different. Are you going to try to tell me that Jason cannot be a Christian unless he gets short like Jake? Jake can't be a Christian unless he gets skinny like Josh. Josh can't be a Christian unless he grows bigger and brawnier like Big Boy. And Big Boy can't be a Christian unless he gets like all three of the others. Pressure! Thank you, fellas. You can sit down. Pressure! And I'm hearing preaching that puts people under pressure. Amen. Not pressure to conform to the Bible, but pressure to conform to my opinion of what the Bible says. Right. I'm going to tell you what you're going to have. A rock tired you are. Hanley Milby stood right here 7 years ago. He said, God's looking for preachers that will be their own man. He said, where are God's free men today? That's right. And if you don't cross, hey, look up here now. If you don't cross your T and dot your I exactly like the Baptist brethren think you should. If you don't drink wine, you're a universalist. Well, I ain't a wine bibber. I ain't a drinking wine in communion. God, I don't know why I'm preaching this. I'm honest before God. But if you believe in a church being local and visible, you're a Baptist writer. I'll turn the pew plumb over on the floor. I like to pick it up and throw it at some of the stupid egg suckers. I never seen so much stupidity in all my life. We're straining at straining at a gnat? Huh? Straining a gnat, swallow a camel. It's a bunch of stupidity. That don't amount to nothing. Don't amount to a hill of beans. I mean, everybody today, Stevie knows everything. But it's an amazing thing to me that Brother Paul said, I don't know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's going to be pressure from without, church, to cave in. That's what they tried to do to Peter. Tried to cave him in. Now, I've got to hurry, man. I've done messed this one all up. Peter needed that rock that was bigger than him when he was pursued by Satan, when he was pressured from without, and when he was imprisoned by religion. I don't have time to turn there, but Acts chapter number 12, Peter finds himself in prison, being Herod waiting to Easter to bring him out that he might cut off his head. He finds himself there in the prison. Now somebody said, what was he in prison to? I thought on this a long time, and I come up that those Pharisees and Sadducees that imprisoned him had to be a type of religion. He's prisoned there by religion. Some folks today are prisoned by religion. You got a little religion, But they don't know God. I'm telling you, America's eat up with religion. Muslims. Black Muslims. Warmongers. And you, I tell all of you out there that's listening, I said so. You ain't nothing but a stinking warmonger. And you can tell Farrakhan and all the other crowd what to say it. They're a bunch of rebel rousers trying to sow hell between blacks and whites is all they are. And I'm here to tell you, buddy, it's going to eat up America and rot and destroy our country from within. Mark her down. If God don't divinely intervene, America's headed for a racial war, folks. Amen. Prison. Jehovah's Witness. Mormons. Catholics. You couldn't break a Catholic. That's why Jesus said, don't try to put new wine in an old bottle. Don't try to put salvation in some old Judaistic religion. He didn't say, I come to save Judaizers. He said, I come to save sinners. I say, you're following me, Brother Chris. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we got people all over America today running around trying to proselyte a bunch of religious devils when you ain't going to get the job done. They're blind, leading the blind. God didn't come to save a religious crowd. God came to save old sinners. Well, I'm going to proselyte. I'm going to get him. He's in church now, but he, you know, well, let him stay there. You probably ain't going to change him. Church of Christ, water dogs. Must be baptized. Must be baptized. I'm going to get him out of that religion. You ain't going to get him out of that religion. Maybe one in a million. Why spin your wheels for 20 years trying to get one man out of religion when there's a world of lost and dying souls are living all around you? That crowd's in prison to religion, buddy. But it's sad to say we got a bunch of Baptists sitting on the pews of our churches. But all they have is a little bit of religion. Prison by religion. Well, I'm going to have to get this thing over with. I can see. Some of you need to go home. When David was surrounded by terror, he needed somebody bigger than he was. When Peter was in the midst of testing, he needed somebody bigger than he was. And when Brother Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 had the thorn in the flesh, he needed somebody that was bigger than he was. He said, he has sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And three times he said, I sought the Lord to get this thing out of my side. And three times he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. When that thorn stuck him tight, God said, I'm not going to remove the thorn, Paul. He said, I'm bigger than you and the thorn. Now, some of y'all have got little thorns in your life that's nettling you. I could go right down the row. And name it. I go right down the row and name what it is that's irritating you. It's a weight. It's something that's irritating you, bugging you. Yeah, that's right. It's perplexing your mind. It's filled up your mind, and that's all you can dwell on. And it's going to, hey, look up here now. It's a messenger of Satan. And if you don't get a hold of yourself, he's going to drag you down and you will be absolutely void of any power, joy, help, or hope in your life, and you'll not be able to help anybody else. Doesn't have to be a thorn, ain't a big thing. When I was a little boy playing in the woods across my mommy's and daddy's playing over there with my cousin Dale, my cousin Ronnie. And there's a little old valley dip over there. They said it was an old Indian trail. And us boys used to play over there, cowboys and Indians and army and one thing and another. We was in them woods playing one day, and all at once I heard little old Ronnie just a screaming and a hollering. And I said, me and Dale run to him, and I said, what's wrong? He said, we're barefooted. And he had a big thorn sticking right in the side of his foot. He wasn't a great big, he's about as big as Joshua back there, Josh Barnett. But that thorn wouldn't have been about that long. But, buddy, he is a howling and a screaming, and I said, I'll pull it out. And he said, no. He said, I want Aunt Alice to pull it out. I don't pull it out. It'll hurt. Leave it in there. I want Aunt Alice. Me and Dale picked him up and carried him down to my cousin Dale's house and let Aunt Alice pull that thorn out of his foot. Just a little bitty thing, but he couldn't walk. He was in pain. He was aggravated, agitated, irritated. He couldn't walk. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Some of y'all's got little thorns in your life, buddy, that's got you pricked in your flesh and in your spirit. That's right. And you can't serve God. That's right. It's holding you back. It's got you down. You need to realize that when the thorn comes, God's grace is sufficient. Hey, somebody bigger than you. I could name some of them. I wish God would give me the liberty. I just would. Some of you all, your family, there's a thorn there with your family. And you're going to let it, instead of looking to God, you're just going to stand and look at that thorn all the time. You come in, sit down on the pew of the church, and you're looking at that thorn. You go out the door, you're looking at that thorn. You go downtown, you're looking at the thorn. Every time, everywhere you go, you're looking at a thorn. It's quiet, and I don't care. Ain't it bothering me a bit? Some of y'all have got little situations in your life, little thorns. Lord, get it out! Lord, get it out! Lord, get it out! My grace! There's somebody bigger than your thorn, bless your heart. Amen. I know that's right. Now notice this. That thorn. I'm trying to help the church. We need something, church. I'm not sure we ought to start another revival meeting. Your weakness. What is your weakness? Well, I can't sing. Who said you can't sing? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Well, I can't pray. Who said you can't pray? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I don't want to give away my entire message for tonight, but Brother Milby told us over there the other day, said that Sammy Allen, Don Green, some of the big preachers have been wanting him to write a book on prayer. He said, I prayed about it for months. And he said, Brother Chris said, here's what I've done. He said, I prayed about it for months. And he said, I went out there behind that big log where I always pray just a couple of weeks ago and said, as I was praying, said, God said, I said, Lord, let me write that book on prayer. And the Lord said, all right, Hanley, I'm going to give you the liberty. He said, you can go write a book. And said, here's what I want you to write in that book. He said, all you'll need is one page and two words. He said, do it. Do it! Brother Hall, I can't pray. Do it! I don't know how to pray. Neither do I, but he'll teach us. Do it! But not always to pray and not to faint. Do it! You can pray. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. Weakness. I can't pray. I can't sing. I can't pray aloud in church. I can't sing in the choir. I had a preacher tell me once, I can't tithe. Do it. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I don't make much money. The rock, there's a rock higher than you are. My kids are rebellious. There's a rock higher than you are. My son, my daughter's outside the will of God. There's a rock higher than you are. My mommy, my daddy ain't a living right. They the rock higher than you are. That's right. His weakness. And then that thorn became wearisome to his flesh and to his spirit. He said, three times I sought the Lord that it might be removed. It got to aggravate him. Worrying him. That's where some of y'all are living right now. Agitated, aggravated. Wearied in the flesh. I've been in this valley a long time. When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. Oh, I want to go higher with Thee. But He whispers, there's strength in my sorrow, and there's victory in heartache for me. Well, He leads me beside still water. How's it go now? Somewhere in this valley below. And then He draws me aside. Oh, to be tested and tried. But in the valley He restoreth my soul. Now listen, ain't this where you're living today? But it's dark as a dungeon, and the sun seldom shines. And I wonder, oh Lord, why must this be? And then He whispers, there's strength in my sorrow. Woo! And there's victory. You want victory and strength? It's in the valley of sorrow and despair. God's a working on our church and a blessing our church. And we don't have enough sense to recognize it and realize it. And there's victory in heartache for me. I said He leads me beside still water. Somewhere in this valley below. But then by His grace, through His love and His mercy, He draws me aside. To be tested and tried. But it's in the valley He restoreth my soul. Psalm 51, when David was in that valley, God restored his soul. Do you think he's on the mountaintop or in the valley? He was way down low. He was deep, man. Real deep. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm so low today, I'd have to have a stepladder to tie my shoes right. John, I've been right there before. But it's down in that valley God wants to restore your soul. Fill you full of joy. Renew a right spirit within you. Restore the joy.
Yeah.
Blessing. And it's God's doing. This day may be a day that the Lord hath made for you. Rejoice and be glad in it. Then I won't say this. His weakness in His flesh, it was wearisome to the flesh, but it was wonderful in its accomplishments. Jesus said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Brother Paul said, I will glory. I will rather glory in my infirmities. Get it now, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I think I'll go one. Bless God. Amen. That's right. Better hurry up, Penguin Man. I'm after you. Hallelujah. I run out of steam, Brother Jerry. I'm tired, church. I'm doing the best I can today, but I'm tired. But what accomplishments. Look here. God carries you down in the valley of terror and testing and thorns and troubles. The power of Christ may rest upon you. I want everybody to listen to me very carefully. A man can be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the power of God on him when he preaches. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the power of God when you sing. But that kind of power comes upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me after that the Holy... And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But I'm going to say this. That, honey, you're cooking with bottle gas when the Holy Ghost rests upon you. Moses come down off of that mountain. God said, I'm the God. Is that Moses? And he sure has changed. Now I'm going to ask you. tell you, was Moses saved when he went up on the mountain?
Yeah. Brother Jerry, he had a different glow when he come
down.
Yeah,
he got close to you.
Yeah. A Christian.
Amen.
May be saved, but I tell you, if you get along with God on the mountain or in the valley, you have a different glow.
Yeah.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
I've noticed a change in old Steve the last couple of months. He got a little bit more humility about him, a little more joy. Some of y'all still got a thorn or something.
Amen.
Wonderful in its accomplishments. There's David and his terror, Peter and his testing, Paul and his thorn. But I'll close with this, Job 14:1. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. David found someone bigger than him when he was surrounded by terror. Peter found someone bigger than him when he was in the midst of testing. Paul found somebody bigger than him when he experienced Satan's thorn. Job realized somebody bigger than him in the midst of his troubles.
Amen.
Troubles. I'm telling you, they come, church.
Amen.
Every day they come. I think of the family in Clarksville, Tennessee that no doubt today or tomorrow will bury their loved ones. Because two thugs walked into a fast food restaurant and killed a 16-year-old girl and a 21-year-old woman. Trouble. That girl's mother told the story when she pulled up into the parking lot. She said she sat there and waited for her daughter to come out. When she didn't come out, she went to the door, and there's a mop bucket by the door. Found a safe open, her daughter's purse in the back room. And the next day, they found her daughter and the other woman both. 16-year-old girl and a 21-year-old young lady laying out by the pond where two thugs for $25 or $30 took two precious lives. I'll guarantee you, when that little high school girl went out of the house that afternoon to go to that little fast food place and work, and by the way, mommy said, "Keep them home!" They never dreamed that trouble would come their way. Brother Mark, the 26th day of November, 1978, Miss Hall and I were sitting in our house, a mobile home in southern Indiana, about 2:30 that afternoon. I went to the door and my brother, and he said, "You come outside for a minute." I said, "You come on in." He said, "No, you come outside." I said, "What?" I walked outside, and my brother looked up at me with tears starting to run out of his face, and he said, "We just heard on the radio." He said, "I think Brenda's mama just killed in an automobile accident down in Summersburg." I said, "They just left here a few minutes ago, dropped the kids off and left here." I said, "There ain't no truth to it." He said, "I'm telling you, I just heard it." And I went in before I said anything to my wife. I called the hospital in Clark County Hospital. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, told her my name. I said, "Is there I've been told that my mother-in-law, Agnes Porter, was killed in an automobile accident today, and I need to find out." And she said, "Sir," said, "we can't tell you anything," but said, "I will say there has been an automobile accident." And less than an hour later, Mrs. Back, I walked into that little room in that hospital and saw my mother-in-law, and they pulled the sheet down from my mother-in-law's face. Trouble. Trouble. But it took trouble! Are y'all listening to me? Took trouble! To rattle my eyeballs and break my heart and wake me up and get me where I am. Job said, "I was at ease and he shook me and woke me up. Set me up as a mark." September the 29th, 1979, less than a year later, about 12:30 at night, maybe 1 a.m. in the morning, my telephone rang. And my wife's brother said, "Gary, Dad's dead." And I said, "What did you say?"
just like my mind was blocked. I didn't want to hear it. I said, "What did you say?" He said, "Dad's dead." And I said, "Daryl, I can't understand a word you're saying." He was saying it just as clear as I am right now. "What did you say?" He said, "Dad is dead. Come down." I hung the phone up and told Miss Hall. I said, "Honey, your daddy's dead." We walked in that house just a couple hundred feet down the road from us. And his daddy sat in that big recliner chair where he always sat. His hands laying on his lap. Hair was still wet from where he got out of the shower and washed his hair and combed it like he did every night. Had a empty glass of buttermilk sitting on a little table beside of him and a family portrait laying beside the glass. And about 12:25 that morning, trouble. Y'all listening to me? Trouble! Trouble comes! But thank God, when trouble comes, there's a rock! Higher than I am! Ain't somebody in this thing bigger than what we are! I know that's telling it right. Look here, and I'm saying this in closing. Job was the wealthiest man in all the East, but he lost that prestige. He lost it all. Now he's sitting in sackcloth and ashes. He lost all of his possessions. But he found when he was on rock bottom. He used to be on the top of the list. Now he's on rock bottom. He used to have wealth, but now he's in poverty. But he realized in the last chapter there was somebody bigger than what Job was. In fact, the Bible said, "And God and the Lord turned again the captivity of Job and gave Job twice as much in the end as he had in the beginning." And he doubled everything that he had except his children. He didn't need to double them. He still had them. 10 in heaven, 10 on the earth. He did have double. How about you this morning? You in a pit of Tyre? Place of testing? Personal thorn? Or just pure trouble? You need God. You need a rock bigger than you are today. I really believe all my heart is just as quiet as we've been and as dry, dead as it's been. That if you'll just get on this altar and be honest with God this morning, your heart is overwhelmed. There's a rock higher than you. And if you'll come to that rock diligently seeking it, God Almighty will help you today. Let's stand together.